came down, Mr. Balta, to talk about the role of Hispanic journalists in the media. And I believe you talked already last night, right? Or is it tonight your first night?
Tonight's my first night. Last night we met with students that are looking to start the first National Association of Hispanic Journalists student chapter here in Alabama.
That's fantastic. How do you think that went?
I think it went really well. It was great to have conversations about their goals in regards to not just their career, but also their scholastic career. And we really talked about the importance of leadership in students here at Alabama, and the importance of having a voice for them as Latinos, whether they're from here in the state of Alabama or they've come from California or other parts of the country. So it's very important to be inclusive and reflective, and NHJ as well as Alabama will help them achieve that.
I think when it comes to journalism, the more the merrier, and to have more active members in the community, whether it be Hispanic or otherwise, it's fantastic, and I really appreciate y'all coming down here.
Thank you.
Have you enjoyed Tuscaloosa so far?
I have. I spent the whole day here on campus meeting with different students and faculty. Before coming to Alabama, obviously, like so many others, what I know most of Alabama is the football program. So it was great to walk around campus to speak to students and get a feel for the community here.
Awesome. Fantastic.
We're speaking to Hugo Balta here on Capstone News Now. He's the coordinating producer for ESPN, also a diversity and inclusion media specialist. That sounds like a lot of stuff, but can you kind of walk us through what your day-to-day role is at ESPN?
Sure. As coordinating producer, I work with a very talented team of on-air talent and behind-the-scenes talent, and we work collaboratively in sports center programs. I primarily work on the 9 o'clock, the 11 a.m., or the 1 p.m. sports center, and it's really a collaborative effort. You know, I think viewers often, when they see programs, and in particular, what I work on, SportsCenter, they're looking who they're exposed to are the anchors and the reporters. But it really takes a small army to get a two-hour program on the air, a lot of unsung heroes. And so my job is to provide an environment where they're going to be able to do what they do best, be it their producers, their associate producers, their part of our graphics team, our display unit team, and our new state-of-the-art set or sets and information. We
sure.
work collaboratively in the editorially as well as the production of a program, and that goes from the focus of the stories that we choose, the order in which we show them, but also the focus of those stories in a two-hour program.
Do you think that SportsCenter right now is doing a good enough job kind of demonstrating the diversity of the American sports audience in all of its facets?
Yeah, I think ESPN, there's room for growth. I think that we can point to several different programs across different platforms as well as coverage in where we've done not only a good job but the best job in being inclusive and diverse. But there's certainly room for growth. And every year the company focuses on different initiatives, like so many other companies, and what we want to focus on. And this year, it's diversity and inclusion, and I'm part of a leadership team that is looking at how can we improve the practices at ESPN from a standpoint of recruiting, from a standpoint of having a virtual Rolodex that's wealthy of different voices and different perspectives, and then also about the content. And when we talk about diversity, diversity means it's not just about ethnicity, gender, age, but it's also diversity of thought. We are looking to be able to be relevant and inclusive of our viewers, our sports fans from different parts of the country, and not just major markets.
And how do you go about doing that? I mean, you talk about this kind of virtual Rolodex. Do you feel that you've done enough? Or I guess it's still an ongoing process, but walk us through how that even comes about.
Sure. It's about engagement. My visit here in Alabama is representative of that. It's important for journalists. We live and we work in Central Connecticut. Central Connecticut is just a piece of the pie, but it's certainly not, I'd say, conducive of major markets across the country like New York City, like Chicago, Los Angeles. So it's important for us to go out, you know, and to engage our audience. You know, I've learned a lot in just a couple of hours here at VNA Alabama from not only from students and potential future ESPN employees, but also consumers of our content, students and members of this community that watch ESPN, not just college football, but NFL, MLB. So part of what we do and we must continue to do is to go out from outside our four walls in Bristol, Connecticut, and go to different markets to talk about what we're doing, to gauge the interests of our audience and potential future employees. And that is a wealth of information that I take with me that I bring back to Bristol, and that will have an impact not only in the work that I do, but being part of larger groups and larger committees that are working towards that end and share that with them, it'll have an impact across the business.
We mentioned diversity, but how about adversity? How do you prepare current broadcasters and, you know, people who work on the team, and also, you know, perhaps people who work in the future with breaking news and that kind of stuff? How do you integrate that into a show, like a two-hour block of SportsCenter?
Sure. You know, breaking news, developing news, you know, a large portion of the content that you see across many different programs and is all about planning. You know, so I'd say 80% of the content is pre-planned, and that's because of the nature of our business. We rotate around the different leagues and seasons, the seasons in sports are in a 12-month calendar. So we know the schedule for NFL, schedule for college football, and we plan accordingly, and our programs reflect what's happening that particular day, that particular hour. What we can't predict is breaking news and developing news, but we can prepare for it. We can anticipate what the game plan will be when news breaks. So in certain situations, like let's say, you know, today in different classes, we discussed the Ray Rice story. We discussed LeBron choosing to go back to the Cavs. Two different situations developing breaking news. One where we could anticipate LeBron had to make a decision. He could have stayed in Miami. He could have gone back to the Cavs or other. So we prepared as best as we could for all of those different options. With the Ray Rice story, we were in a reaction mode. You know, when the new video of what happened inside the elevator came out, we were reacting more than preparing for that situation. But because we have many different filters, editorial filters in those situations, those filters were activated so that we saw what was happening as far as the video, and then our news editors were working their contacts to verify the information and the release of that video. Our talent producers were reaching out that virtual Rolodex of different voices within and outside of the NFL in order to populate the content across our different programs. And then, of course, our own journalists and analysts working their contacts. So in situations, there's always opportunity in adversity. And while we cannot predict when and when news will break, we have a system in place that will initiate once it happens.
We're speaking to Hugo Balta from ESPN. You mentioned LeBron, and look, I'm from Miami, and so I'm a Heat fan, and we won't get into that. But we'll just talk about the news value of that whole situation for whatever it's worth. Anyway.
Sure. Well,
No, I'm sorry. I just needed a second. but that was something that was just all over ESPN for weeks. And you mentioned the fact of kind of like he had to make a decision. That's true, but it wasn't necessarily clear what day he was going to do it. In fact, the day that he made the decision, at least from an outsider's point of view, it seemed a bit like it could have been the next day, for example. We didn't really know 100%, but ESPN was covering it as though it was going to happen right then and there. Did you feel comfortable in the amount of coverage that ESPN gave to something as maybe simple as a contract dispute?
I think that's an excellent question, and it's something that we wrestle with every day. You know, what is the right amount? the first thing that we have to consider, and it's always in the forefront of whatever we produce, is the audience. How the audience consumes news and information and entertainment is very different in the way we sports journalists and journalists do. So what perhaps for us seems like, wow, it's day six of the decision.
Did you think that personally? That like, oh my gosh, here I go again to the studio and we're going to talk about this for another 12 hours.
You know, the challenge for me was, how are we going to further the story? That's really what I was thinking. How are we going to further the story today when we know the decision is imminent, but we don't want to regurgitate the same information we've been doing for the last 3 days? But so that was the challenge for me and for our team. But understanding that the average viewer, for them, it was still fresh. For them, and for many of them, it was still new. Of course, fans in South Florida and in Ohio, it was very different because they're much closer to the story. But to the average NBA fan, it wasn't wall-to-wall coverage for 6 days, 7 days, whatever it was. So we have to understand that how we consume news and information is very different than the average viewer. And the challenge is always going to be further the story. How do we further the story with a different voice, with a different focus, be it the fan, be it the league, be it the players, be it teammates? How do we further the story? That's always going to be the challenge.
And do you think that having a diverse, very diverse staff and workforce in Bristol helps in that regard as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking to be inclusive and reflective of the entire viewing audience. And so, I'm a 44-year-old Peruvian-American who grew up in the suburbs of New York City. I've been married for 14 years, and I have two grade school children. All of my experience and it comes into effect in my decision making, and that also goes to my interests, and also it goes to how I see different sporting events, different games, different leagues. The same can be said with other members of the ESPN team. The key in diversity is to surround yourself with people that are not like you, that have a shared interest but are coming from different backgrounds, be it from their age, their gender, their race, their ethnicity, and also their experience having worked in different media companies and having grown up in different parts of the country. That comes into that focus, that prism comes into effect as we're discussing every story. And some of it is healthy debate, but at the core, it's all of us attempting to be better storytellers. We embrace that debate because we know the product will benefit from it.
Well, Mr. Hugo Balta from ESPN, we appreciate you joining us very much. Just in closing, for students that perhaps want to go into sports broadcasting or broadcasting in general that could make it out to one of your other events today or can't make it out tonight, what would you tell them in terms of the best way to prepare themselves to enter that that field?
Well, I think you got to do your homework. I always give the example, no one came to Alabama by accident. When you were in high school, as early as probably sophomore, definitely junior, certainly senior, you were doing your homework, you were talking to your counselors, you were looking at different options, and I'm sure Alabama was in the short list, but it wasn't the only university in the list. You have to do the same. You have to apply that same skill set as you're looking at your at the next phase of your career, and this is the professional career. So do your homework. Make sure that if you're looking at sports journalism, or you're looking at journalism, or you're looking at any industry, that you're researching different companies, that you're engaging them, not when you're looking for a job, but as you're looking to collect information about what that company's all about. What is their mission? What is the corporate culture at that particular company? Talk to people in positions that you aspire to achieve, be it in the long run or in the short term. They're the ones that are going to give you information about what life is like 24/7 at that particular company. So do your research, do your homework, engage as soon as possible, not just through internships, not just through career fairs, but through different associations that are in that industry. And when you're talking about communications and journalism, there's a plethora of them. Those are going to be the organizations that are going to help you collect information, help you engage and network with companies that you're interested in, and ultimately give you the opportunities to interview for key positions.
Dr. George Daniels, you've been sitting here next to me in a very nice suit, by the way. Always well-dressed, Dr. George Daniels is. That's a different story for a different day. If students want to come out and maybe meet Mr. Balta or hear from him again, how can they do that tonight?
That'll be tonight in Lloyd Hall, room 324. It starts at 7 o'clock. And then again on tomorrow morning, the focus will be on ESPN and the route that you take to be where Mr. Balta is. That's 10 a.m. on Friday in room 216 of Pfeiffer Hall.
Well, very good. Well, we appreciate both of you for coming. And Mr. Balta, we hope you enjoy the rest of your time here in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you very much.
Can we get a Roll Tide from you?
Roll Tide. Oh, roll Tide, roll.
Nice. Well, very good. That's Hugo Balta from ESPN. You're listening to Capstone News Now.